Turn with me in the New Testament tonight to the Gospel of John. So we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. John chapter number 5. As you know, I've taken this portion as a springboard to a series of sermons. We've looked at some different things, and I'll review that in just a moment. But the Bible says in verse number 19, as the Lord Jesus is speaking, and He's been accused of some things. He's been accused of doing a great work on the Sabbath. He healed somebody. The scribes and the Pharisees, they decided they wanted to condemn Him for doing right. And He begins to explain some things to these in verse number 19. When He says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man." Let's pray together. Father, we love You, and we thank You for loving us. Lord, we thank You for the privilege to be in Your house one more time tonight. In the next few moments we have together, I pray, Lord, to be pleasing to Thee. As I stand to preach, I pray that our hearts would be touched by the truth of Your Word. And Lord, we'd have an understanding of what it means to honor You in this area of our life. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us. And Lord, if there be one here without Christ as Savior, understanding, Lord, this is not a salvation message, but Lord, knowing that the Holy Spirit can work even through these things to speak to somebody's heart and soul. I pray that tonight they would see their need of Christ. Lord, they would trust Thee, enter into eternal life. Lord Jesus, I pray that You'll help me, empower me, strengthen me, clarify my words, and Lord, my mind. May it be clear tonight to speak that which You placed in my heart to say. We'll thank You and praise You for what's accomplished. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Every week I seem to say the same things over and over, but we find that when the Lord Jesus compared Himself to His Father and placed Himself on equal ground to God the Father, we find that there was an outcry. And they began to condemn the Lord Jesus. And Christ clarified some things here, and He says, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He saith the Father do, and what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And you know this was bothering them, because He was saying, I and My Father are one. Co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They are all equal, and they are all one God. Three entities, but one God. And God the Son was speaking here, and He was trying to help them to understand some things. The Bible says that as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. There's going to be a great judgment day. Everybody's going to stand before the Lord, and we understand that there's two kinds of judgment for eternity. One is the Bema judgment, which the Bible calls it the judgment seat. And that's where all those that have trusted Christ will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ will judge us. And then there's the great white throne judgment. And that's where everybody will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and that judgment will be a judgment of sin. The judgment seat, the Bema judgment, is a judgment of what have we done with Christ since we've trusted Him as our Savior. Our sins were judged at the cross of Calvary. Our sins, if we've trusted Christ as Savior, have been washed in Calvary's blood, and heaven's going to be our home, and we will not be judged anymore for our sins. But we will be judged for our works, what we've done with Christ. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you're not going to stand before the Bema judgment. You're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. And those sins that were paid for at the cross of Calvary, your sins that were paid for at the cross of Calvary because you refused the payment of the blood of Christ, you will then be charged as guilty of those sins, and for time and for eternity, you will pay for the sins that's already been paid for on the cross. So tonight, when you reject Christ as Savior, and you think, well, it's easy just to go through this life, at the end of this life, there's an eternity. And dear friends, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, that eternity is going to be in heaven. But if you rejected Christ as Savior, that eternity is going to be in hell, and you'll never escape. Now, that's not the message. I just wanted to say all that because that's what the Lord Jesus is helping us to understand here. That He and the Father are one. He is going to be the one that judges men. You want to know why? Because He took upon Himself the form of a servant. He became a man. And that's why the Bible says in verse number 27, "And hath given Him the authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man." In other words, He can identify with you and with me. He was tempted in all ways just like we're tempted, the Bible says, yet without sin. Now, as we look at this, the Bible says in verse 23, "All men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father." We have this religious group of people here that's condemning the Lord Jesus Christ. They were ready to honor God, but they were rejecting that Christ was the Son of God. They were rejecting that Christ was the Messiah. And so the Lord Jesus is saying, if you really want to honor the Father, you have to honor the Son. That's why I think it's very important that when we're speaking to others about our salvation, that we use the name the Lord Jesus Christ. And we help people to understand that we identify with the Jehovah God of the Bible. That we identify with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You'll hear a lot of people, and I know I've said this throughout these sermons, you hear a lot of people say things like an athlete or some famous person, when a microphone is put in front of them, they'll say, "Well, I just want to thank God. I want to thank God." But you don't really know which God they're talking about, especially in today's society. There's multitudes of gods. There's always have been multitudes of gods, but there's only one true God. Amen. And we see that you put that in front of them, are they talking about Allah? Are they talking about the God of their religion? Or are they talking about the God of the Bible? I'll never forget one time I was watching an interview of a sports personality and a well-known sports personality. And they asked him something like this. They said, "You've never won the big game. You've never won a Super Bowl. You've never won a national championship in college football." And he says, does these things bother you that you've never really won these things?" And he said, "To be honest with you, when it comes down to the end of my life, it's not going to matter at all if I've won these things. What is going to matter is how many I've won to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And I thought, that's what life's all about, isn't it? He that honoreth the Son honoreth the Father. And He brought great honor to the Lord Jesus. And He never did win anything. As a matter of fact, He's a politician now. But I was thinking about that, how we have to honor the Son. We have to honor Christ. And we talked just a few weeks ago about how we must honor Christ in our message as a church, as a people. Now, what is the church? Now, we've given this. It's a simple definition. It's a group of baptized believers that have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. Our responsibility is to give the gospel to the world. And so Christ should be honored in our message. And we talked about how the gospel was needed and how that it was necessary and that how it negates man's ways. And then a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how we're to honor Christ in our music, our preparation, our presentation, our participation. There are to be songs to God and songs that cause worship and songs that uplift. And now tonight we're going to be talking about how as God's people, as part of this church and part of God's church, we're to honor Christ in our money. And, you know, Baptists have always had the thing where they're accused of preaching on money all the time. And I think every one of you know that that's not the truth with me. Very seldom I preach money. I do when God puts it on my heart. Maybe once a year, sometimes twice a year. And then through a series like this, we'll look at something. But I believe that when we honor the Lord Jesus Christ in our finances, it honors the Father. And when we honor Christ, then we reap the benefits. When we do what we're supposed to do, God takes care of us. And so I want to look at just a few areas tonight in honoring the Lord with our money. First of all, I want to talk about honoring the Lord in our personal bringing. Our personal bringing. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, and verse number 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Notice what the Bible says, with the first fruits of all thine increase. And the Bible clarifies this even to a greater degree when it says in the book of Malachi, chapter number 3, verse 9 and 10, or verse 8 through 10, the Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Of course, the Lord's talking to the Jews here, but it's applicable to us because in the New Testament we find this tithing and bringing to the church upon the first day of the week is still given to us. But it says in verse number 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So we are to honor the Lord in our finances in the part of personally bringing our tithes. Every Sunday when it comes time for the offering, I always make this statement. We bring our tithes and we give our offering. Because the tithe belongs to the Lord and it's holy. Now the tithe is a tenth. It's a tenth of what? The proverb said, of the first fruits of all thine increase. I'll never forget, I had somebody that I talked with, it's been several years ago, and we were talking about tithing. He brought the subject up, I didn't. And he said, do you tithe? I said, I certainly do, because I know that the Bible teaches me that if I want the blessings of God on my life, that's one of the things that I need to do. Now, that's not everything I need to do. I know a lot of people that will give 10% of the church and live like the devil. Don't expect the blessings of God, all right? You might as well just figure it out that's not the only thing. And a lot of people try to give their way to heaven. You're not going to give your way to heaven. You bring your tithe because it's holy and it belongs to the Lord. And so we began to talk. And so he said, well, you know, and we worked together. So he knew what I made, you know, and I knew what he made because we made the same money an hour. And so he said, you have a hard time writing your check. And I said, no, never have. And I just said, as soon as I get our paycheck, my wife writes a check, and the amount is da-da-da-da. I don't remember what it was then. You know, that's back years ago. And he went, what? The amount is what? And I said, yeah. He said, that's not how much I tithe. He said, I have a hard time writing my tithe, and it's not even half that. I said, what? He said, well, after they take the taxes out, and then my house payment comes out of it, and then my car payment comes out, and then we have so much that goes into a savings account for my children, then my tithe is da-da-da-da. And I went, you went one too many duhs here. You know, it's duh. That's it. And I said, the Bible helps us to understand the first fruits of all of our increase. Now, I'm talking about honoring the Lord Jesus Christ in our finances. I'm talking about honoring Him, and we personally bring our tithe to the Lord. And it belongs to Him. Now, the government may want to take a whole lot more than 10%, but God says, you give me 10%, I'll give you 90% to live on. Right? And we're not talking about taxes here, we're talking about tithing. Thank the Lord we're not talking about taxes. We're talking about tithing, you know? And we see all what the Bible has to say, and a lot of people say, well, that's all y'all want to talk about is this. No, the reason I ever preach on tithing is to help you to do what God says to do. Look, if you don't give a dime, it's no skin off my teeth. I mean, it hurts the church because God placed you here to help the church to carry out the work that needs to be done. But when you stand before the Lord, you'll give an answer to what God has given you, what you've done with it. You see how it all starts to work together now? We bring the tithe to the storehouse. We lay it up for the first day of the week. And then we honor the Lord by bringing our tithe, all right? So we understand that's personal bringing. Now, the second thing I want you to see now is cheerful giving. Cheerful giving. I've already said we bring our tithes and we give our offerings. The tithe belongs to God. There's no question about it. For a believer tonight, if we're going to be Bible believers and we're going to ascribe to the Word of God, then we're going to say the tithe belongs to the Lord. Sometimes God works in our heart and we give above and beyond the tithe. And people do that. Not reluctantly. We do something, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, we do something called faith promise giving around here. And you folks have done so well with that. Praise the Lord for it. And it's so exciting to see how our missions program. We've had to drop several missionaries, so we're trying to catch up on some things and all that. But tonight, I want you to see some things about this. I want you to look with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 9. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now this is not talking about the tithe. The tithe belongs to God. You bring that to God. This is talking about giving. In other words, something may happen. We may have a special offering or something like that. Here's what the Bible says. When you give, don't give grudgingly. Give cheerfully. You know what the word cheerfully means here? It means hilariously. In other words, when Brother Mickey or Brother Mike has the offering plate in their hand and they're passing it around and we're doing something special and God's put it in your heart to do it, you're like, wahoo! You know? It's so amazing to me. Have you ever noticed people will fold up their money? Yeah, y'all ever seen it? I very seldom see the offering, but there's times I think, man, somebody just put a dime in the offering plate, and then I realized when it went down, it was green. They had folded it up that small, you know? And I've seen people, they'll pass the offering plate, and buddy, they might have a $20 bill, and they're going to put that in there. They don't fold it up, you know what they do? They go, it's funny, isn't it? But when we give, we ought to give cheerfully. It ought to be exciting that God, now I'm telling you, it's through obedience. I'm not going to ever ask you to give more than what God tells you to give. Because that's between you and the Lord. You understand that, right? But when God puts something in your heart to do, There ought to be great joy in being able to give. And that honors the Lord. That honors Christ in our life. When we are obedient in our giving. And when we give not grudgingly, but we give cheerfully. We give it with an excitement. We give it realizing that this is going to help to accomplish something. We was raising money for the young people around here, and on Wednesday nights our offerings increased. Because you knew you were giving towards something, and our young people were able to go on a mission trip and to be a blessing to a church and to be blessed. And there was something great about that, wasn't there? And I don't think people gave grudgingly. They were so excited about it. And they were thrilled by the fact that they were able to give and able to help to accomplish something in their lives and to make a difference. The Bible says in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 6, verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." In other words, now we're not talking about a prosperity. Look, these jokesters on TV that says if you'll give this, then God will give you 100-fold and all that, they just want your money. But when you give because God's put in your heart to give, God will always give it back. And He'll provide for you. It's a principle in God's Word that when we're obedient to the Lord, God blesses obedience. That's all that matters, obedience. Not just in the matter of giving in our lives, but in the matter of just surrendering ourselves to the Lord. Doing what we know God wants us to do. And if you'll do the simple things, I tell people all the time, it begins by, if you're saved, by just being faithful to church, by reading your Bible, by praying. Do the simple things, and if you want God to give you other things and to bless you in other ways, you've got to start out by doing the simple things, you know? A lot of people, they get saved and they say, well, I just want to step out here and I want to preach. And there's been some people that God, Tom Malone was a man, he got saved and called to preach on the same day. That's not normal, but you know, I know a lot of missionaries, they say God's called them to the mission field, but they're never at one soul winning visitation of their local church. If God's called you to the mission field in Africa, then He's going to use you at your local church first to carry out the work and to get it done, right? You understand? It's obedience. And then, see, there's steps in all these things. So we begin to understand this. When it comes to our money tonight, and while it's not a pleasant thing, a lot of people don't like to talk about it, the Bible's filled with money matters and money issues. And we need to see these things. There ought to be personal bringing and cheerful giving. And we've talked tonight also about faith promise giving. We give cheerfully. Sometimes that's sacrificially, if you will. You give above and beyond what you normally would do. But in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." You know what he was saying? He's saying that the churches of Macedonia, they were going through some terrible hardships, but they knew that we had need. Paul says they knew we had some needs, and they gave themselves first to God, and then they sent to us. And that's what faith promise giving is. It's we promise by faith to give something. As God provides, we give it. And then we by faith, trust that our missionaries are going to do something with it that's going to be right and good. And that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the way that it is. That's the way that things work. And trying to be responsible with this. We see personal bringing is something that the Bible tells us that we're to do. We bring our tithes. Cheerful giving. It ought to be right, you know. We ought to give cheerfully and we ought not begrudge it. I've heard preachers, some preachers say, well, you know, if you begrudge it, then don't give it. And then I've heard other preachers say, if you give it grudgingly, give it anyway. You know, I don't know, but I tell you tonight, you can't go wrong by doing what God puts in your heart to do. You can't go wrong by doing that. I'll never ask people to give more than what God wants you to give. That's between you and the Lord. I don't know who gives and who doesn't. You ask Brother Mickey. I may ask about the totals, but I've never asked him who gives and who doesn't. Maybe once or twice when we're looking at somebody for a certain position, because if you're in a certain position, then you know you ought to be doing your part. Because to be honest with you, if you don't tithe, then really you're not doing your part and shouldn't be in certain leadership roles. Right. That's good preaching. It may not sound good, and it may not feel good, but it's right. So we have to do this. I think what we need to understand tonight is that money is not a bad thing to talk about, but it's not something that we have to talk about all the time. But when we do talk about it, we ought to look at it scripturally and ask God to help us to do our best in being obedient to Him. So we've looked at three things tonight: personal bringing, cheerful giving, faith promise giving, and then finally tonight, I want us to look at rightful spending. Rightful spending. And I think this is so very important. We are to do things right. We are to do things the way that the Lord would have us to do it. In the book of Luke, chapter number 16, it's talking about being a good steward of what we have. And the Bible says, and the Lord Jesus is here, and he said also unto his disciples in chapter 16, verse number 1, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. We begin to see some things here. We begin to see that we need to be right in the way that we use what God has given to us. We need to be right in our spending, you know. My grandmother, she teaches lots of life lessons. And she just says things. And what I'm getting ready to say that she said, every one of you has heard it. Every one of you has heard it. My grandmother is 99 years old today. Today's her birthday. 99 years old. Isn't that amazing? 99 years. And she said, one thing I learned, if you don't have it, well, it was, if you don't got it, don't spend it. I think a lot of countries would do well with that. Not just our precious country, but all around the world. You know? If you don't have it, don't spend it. And sometimes you get in binds and sometimes you have to do certain things, but I think every one of us could see what the credit crisis is in America, how that we have gotten ourselves so far into credit personally that we feel like that we are under a load that we can't hardly get out of. And it's oppressive, isn't it? If we would have never had this fiat money, the funny money, you know, where it's not really there, but you can get it. It's not there, but you can get it. And the money you have is really not yours. It really belongs to somebody else because you got it out of their account to be able to loan it to you. You know, all these different things. That's what's happened. And we got materialistic and we began to say, I want this, I want that, I want to have everything that everybody else has. And so I don't have the money for it, but I can just borrow the money for it. I'm not saying you're never going to borrow money, but I am saying that we have to be careful, because if we start going down that path, we're going to get in over our heads and it'll destroy us. If you don't have it, don't spend it. Sometimes you have to do certain things. Sometimes there's desperate things, call for desperate things, desperate measures. But I'm not going to stand up here and judge anybody that's done anything. We've really tried in our lives. We're working on a plan to take care of all of that. And it's a struggle. It's a real struggle. But we have paid off almost every credit card that we owe working and doing this. And not going to be under that burden of pressure. And sometimes you have to do something, you know. Something comes up. But I found out that when you honor the Lord, it seems like God is amazing at how that He just helps you and provides for you and gives you what you need. Rightful spending. I think everybody, every Christian in America ought to abide by these principles to not spend if we really don't have, you know. Don't you think that would be the best thing? God help us. It's not a pleasant thing to talk about, you know. But I think we can all see where our troubles have come. I think one of the persons that we could talk about in the Bible that was not a rightful spender was old Judas Iscariot. Don't you? He got some money to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't have taken the money. That was wrong taking. I think there's another principle there. Not only rightful spending, but not doing the wrong things to get money. All these scams. There's a lot of scam artists out there, isn't there? Some of them's finally making their way to prison now after taking billions and billions and billions of dollars away from people. It's terrible. But we see what people do because of money. Money makes people do crazy things. Right? Do you agree with that? What is the problem? It's a spiritual problem in America. I know that. But this crisis that we're in, when we look at it, isn't it just people being too materialistic? Isn't that really what brought all this on? People borrowing money that they really can never pay back. Well, as Christians tonight, let's honor Christ in our finances. Doesn't mean you're never going to go borrow. I'm not a financial guru. I'm just telling you there's certain principles that we have to be careful with. And that's not to live above our means. And that's the means that God provides us to be faithful in bringing the tithe, in giving what He places in our heart to do, doing the faith promise things, and spending right. Honoring Christ with our money. And if believers in them, I believe churches in America, believers in America, could turn this country around if we would do what's right. I'm just so naive as to begin to see that if God's people starts doing what's right in finances, that God somehow just blesses His people, you know? And then in blessing His people, others may seem to see something's going on. This is not a salvation message. It's not one of those messages that's going to make you just jump up and shout amen. This is just a message talking about honoring the Lord Jesus Christ in a series of messages. Honoring Christ in our message. Honoring Christ in our music. Honoring Christ in our money. We'll look at honoring Christ in our members. We'll look at honoring Christ in our methods. We may look at honoring Christ with our missions. But just biblical principles that I think will help us to be able to survive in this world and to be able to be a good witness and testimony. And when God provides for us, you know what we ought to do? We ought to tell everybody what the Lord Jesus has done in our lives and how He's taken care of us. And he that honoreth the Son honoreth the Father. But for you to honor the Son and the Father, you must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, then these things that I've said to you probably just didn't amount to a hill of beans, you know? You could care less about what things I just said. But for those of us that have trusted the Lord, we all see and understand that we need to honor the Lord Jesus in every area of our life. And it could go beyond these M's that we're talking about tonight. But because I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, I do want to honor Him and the Father. And we need to be faithful in doing these things. We need to be faithful in our finances. We need to be faithful in our way of life. We need to be faithful in when God does great things. Tell them, people, Jesus has been so good to me. The Lord Jesus has provided for me. He answered my prayer. He took care of this. How many of us have had great things happen when we honored the Lord? Say amen. Amen. We've all had those things happen. Well, don't, when the Lord Jesus blesses you with something, be sure that you're faithful in telling others. That's what's missing, I think, in our world today, is people aren't hearing enough about the Lord and how He provides for us and how He takes care of us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. I know tonight in this invitation is certainly going to be a different kind of invitation, but maybe it's just an invitation where we would say, you know, I need to honor the Lord in every area of my life. And And tonight when we talk about the finances, you know, maybe God's dealing with you about that specific issue, but it could be some other things. But you may be here tonight, and we talked at the very beginning about how Christ loves us and how that heaven can be our home if we trust Jesus as our Savior. But if we don't trust Christ as our Savior, how that we're not going to go to heaven and we're going to go to a terrible place called hell. And tonight you say, I don't want that, preacher. I know I don't want to die and go to hell. When I come to the end of this life, I want to go to heaven. Well, there's only one way, and that's through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Heaven's going to be my home. I'm not perfect. I don't do everything just right because I realize, you know, I'm still working on trying to get better for the Lord. But in all my imperfection, I know that I have trusted the perfect Savior. And I know that I'm on my way to heaven because my faith is in Him. And I'm saved by grace through faith. And I'm going to heaven because of His grace. Would you lift your hand? I'm saved and on my way to heaven tonight. I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. God bless you. Thank you. Isn't that good? Isn't it wonderful to be able to raise your hand and say, I know I'm on my way to heaven. Just like the choir sang tonight, I know I'm saved. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad that you can raise your hand. If you're here and you say, preacher, I didn't lift my hand right then. You know, and I know you preached on money tonight, but the truth be known, if I were to die right now by some tragic means or something were to happen in my life, and my life were to come to an end, this moment, if my life ended, I don't have the peace and assurance that heaven would be my home. And I'd ask that you'd pray for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask no one, please, to be looking. You say, preacher, that's me. I've never trusted Christ. I don't have the peace and assurance. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. But I would ask that you'd pray for me. I know I don't want to die without Jesus. Would you lift your hand? That's me, preacher. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. God bless you. Thank you for that. Would there be another one? Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate that. Would there be someone else tonight? Thank you for your honesty. God bless you. Thank you for that. Praise the Lord. I want you to understand something. The Lord Jesus loves you. He came into this world. God robed in flesh and He died on the cross. He went to the cross, and the reason He went was to pay for your sins. Here's the thing about it. You can try to work your way to heaven, but you'll never get there. Jesus did everything that needed to be done in order for you to go to heaven. You just need to realize that as a sinner, Jesus paid for your sins. And He's willing to forgive your sins if you're willing to, by faith, trust Him and what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. Just a moment, you'll have an opportunity. We'll meet you here and pray with you. If you'd like to say, preacher, I want to come tonight and I want to get this thing settled. I want to know that heaven's going to be my home. No pressure on you to come. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about you needing to know that you're saved, then I wouldn't turn Him away. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm saved. Heaven's going to be my home. I'm so happy about that. But God's dealing with me about some other things. Could be finances. It could be other things. But God's dealing with me just about honoring Him. In just a moment, why don't you as Christians lead the way? And maybe it'll encourage some of these others as God's dealing with you to come. Don't come to try to draw. You come because God has spoken to you about coming forward. And as He has spoken to you, why don't you move and be obedient to the Lord? Dear friend, if you're here tonight and you raised your hand, you're not saved. Why don't you let this be the greatest day of your life? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven's going to be your home. Christian, if God's dealing with you, why don't you be obedient tonight? Father, in Jesus' name we come to you. Thanking you, Lord, for the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to people's lives tonight.